Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We just thank you that we honor you for your presence, and we just worship you. I thank you, Lord, that what is said is of you tonight. And Father, that there will be ears that will be open and people will hear what is being said. Father, we pray for Pastor Mark and Carmen. Lord, we lift them up to you. Father, that just a special anointing and special power and a great grace come upon them to minister to this family. And we thank you, Lord. And we just continue to pray for them and lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. And so I'm glad you're here tonight. So, one of the things that, Pastor Mark's been talking some about anger and emotions and getting control of those kinds of things. I'm going to deal a little bit tonight with how to deal with those things, how to get victory over those kinds of things. If you're suffering from depression or it's something that just continuously haunts you, I'm going to get into how do you overcome that, because there is victory over everything. And so one of the things I'm going to really expound upon now is the love of God tonight. And you think, well, I've heard nice sermons about the love of God, but, well, we need to put it into action. And so everything in the Bible hangs on love. If you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there is nothing that works without love. You can make the best sounding instruments and sing the best things and pray the best prayers, but if there's no love in it, it has no power, it has no effect. Amen. And so one of our goals in life is to get that love, get a revelation of the love of God in our life, that one, that we can know how much God loves us, and two, that we can then start loving other people because we know what position we are in Him. And so we're going to start out tonight in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we all also ought to love one another." So it starts off in verse 7. It says that love is of God. He is the originator of love. Without Him, there is no love. And so he is the originator. But then it goes on in the next verse and says, "But God is love," meaning his entire personality is love personified in everything that He does. See, He's not a God of wrath. He's a God of love. And so His love is very, very powerful, and it's what really everything is totally based upon. Now, the Bible talks about His unfailing love. Boy, I love that. It just never, never fails. His everlasting love, it just continues on and on and on. He never changes that. He is always in that position towards us. It also talks about that His mercy endures forever. Mercy many times is the word love translated a different way. So it is a forever thing, never running out. He never gets low. See, God is not moody. Isn't that nice? Amen. I mean, he doesn't have good days and bad days and not so good days. You never come to Him and He says, "Well, not now." nothing like that. No, he's open all the time. He has glorious days. I mean, every day in God's kingdom is a glorious day. And so, hey, it's on. So He is always looking to show His love for us. So He's not moody. He's not touchy or feely like that. He's very steadfast. He's very consistent with His love. He doesn't go up and down. There's not a love meter in heaven where something goes up and down depending on. No, he's very steadfast. It's very consistent. And so He is love. And so when we talk about love, we can't talk about anything but talk about God. He's it. He is the origination of it. He is that is His person. And so, you know, when you meet God, what would he do? He'd run towards you and put his arms around you and wrap you up like that and tell you how much he loves you. Amen. He would kill a fatted calf for you, have a big feast and have a party, and it would be on. So he is passionate about his love for us. One of the things about love is he protects us. See, I mean, you know, my wife, I protect her. See, when we're going around, walking around, if she's talking to me or talking to somebody else, she's not paying attention to where she's going, okay? So I know that. And so my job is to move her back and forth to keep her from running into stuff, people, whatever. You know, and she never misses a beat. She just keeps talking, keeps going on because she's in the zone, you know. So, I protect her, you know. I sit there and think, man, if I didn't do this, she'd just run into stuff, you know, and things like that. So, you know, but that's the way God, he protects us. How many times has he bailed you out? How many times has he sent you down a different direction because, you know, you were going to get in trouble there? How many times did he make you late because you were going to get in a wreck? See, I mean, he's just intervening all the time. I mean, why? Because he loves you. See, his protecting power and his hovering power over you, he wants you to fulfill your purpose in this life. And so he protects you. He counsels with you. He talks with you. He gives to you. See, he gives each, he pours out things on people. He causes blessings to come to them. He causes, you know, joy to come to people. He causes great grace to come upon people. He causes people to move and minister in ways that they can't even minister in. See, I mean, he's constantly giving and constantly sharing and constantly giving out. He also shows his great favor towards us. See, you have so much favor with God. You're one of his favorites. Amen? And so he just loves you. He has peace with you. You think he's mad at you. He's not mad at you. No, God is at peace with you. See, you need to really get that thought out of your mind. He's at peace with you. Now, Isaiah 54, verse 9 says, "To me, this is like the days of Noah when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." See, compassion, that's what he is. He's compassion. See, Jesus was moved with compassion. Every time he would minister to people, he was moved with compassion towards people. Well, that's the direct identity of God himself. He's moved with compassion. And so he says here, hey, I'm not angry with you. I'm not going to be angry with you. My unfailing love towards you is coming at you right now. The Amplified says, "My love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace and completeness be removed." So he has a covenant of peace with us. He's declared peace with us. God is at peace with us. Are you at peace with him? See, because that's why the Bible always says, you know, like in the New Testament, you see grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are not just dear John things. Those are literally what God is saying to you. Grace and peace to you. That my peace is upon you. That you know, I'm at peace with you. I'm not angry with you. Not because of the love of God. His love is very compassionate. And he works to get us into position with him. So his unfailing love will not be shaken. It will not change. See, God is very purposeful. Once he decides something, it is what it is. He doesn't change. And so he has decided to love us with an unfailing love. That meaning never, never, ever changing. He's also decided that he was going to have peace with us. So he's declared peace to us. So it's a decision, no matter what, not to be angry with us. If you think God is mad at you, you've got a wrong perception of God. For him to be mad at you, he would have to completely violate his word that he just said. And he won't do that. Amen. Amen. He will never do that. Now, he can be put out with you, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But for example, you know, I was thinking about something one time, something I shouldn't have been thinking about, and it's none of your business what it was. Okay. But I was thinking about it. You know how this is. You think about things, and I start thinking about something that I shouldn't be thinking about, but I'm thinking about it, okay? Then I'm going over it and thinking about it in my mind, and then it just starts, you know, take wings and all that kind of stuff, and it just gets bigger and bigger in my life, and I start thinking about it, and I start thinking, yeah, I can do this, you know? And then, you know, and the Lord said something to me. He says, is it worth the anointing in your life? And I said, whoa. yeah. So he corrects us. Well, that's part of love. You correct people. You don't let them run off a cliff. You don't let them just get out there and hurt yourself. He sees the whole field. He sees what's going to happen in your life way, way, way ahead. way ahead. And so he knows where this path leads to. He knows what this thing you're about to get into leads to. He understands the destruction that's about to happen. And so he intervenes. Hey, I mean, Pastor Mark on Sunday morning, I mean, he reads the mail all the time, you know. And so it's just, I don't know, you too? So every time I'm like, change that. You know, but that's a God thing. God is doing that, that's part of his correcting us. He's showing, that's part of his love, is he doesn't want us going down that path because that path is destruction. And he sees the end of that path. So he's trying to save you and keep you from a lot of trouble. Amen? See, that's love. Yes. That's love. See, when you love somebody, you intervene on them. You don't just let them do stuff. You intervene on them. And God will intervene. So he'll send pastor to say something. He'll send somebody else to say something. He'll say something himself. He'll just keep on keeping on. And then eventually, you know, he'll say, okay, you know, you've kind of gotten out there too far. But that takes a long time. I know in the Old Testament, it's amazing to me how the children of Israel, you know, would get on fire for God and just really be doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden they're out there just worshiping idols and, you know, just having a time. And then they start sacrificing their kids and all this kind of stuff. And they really get debased. And God is warning them and telling them and warning them and telling them and sending prophets to them and sending people to them to tell them that they need to turn. And then he says, okay, I've tried, you know. Of course, it's 200 years later, he's still trying, and then eventually he lets them have what it is that they are trying to get at, and it almost destroys them. But then the moment they turn their hearts to him, he just completely goes, yeah, I love you. See, that's love. See, love, it doesn't matter what you did in the past, all that just gets wiped away. You're just loving them because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing now. So that's his character. He can't stay like that. So his love is unfailing. It's always enduring. Now, John 17 and verse 20. I want to go there because Jesus was praying. And this is really a phenomenal prayer. Do you think Jesus, when he prayed, do you think he believed he received when he prayed? Amen. Amen. I mean, if anybody was praying in faith, he was doing it. I mean, he was on it. You know, so he was praying. But the same thing is true, too, because, you know, he only prayed what the Father told him to pray. He only said what the Father told him to say. So he was saying the heart of God when he was praying this prayer. And so here he is, and he starting in verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Anybody here believe in him through the message that these people spoke? Yeah, came down through the generations. So he's talking to us. Now he's going to pray. He's praying for us, praying for me. Make it personal. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And I'm going to skip to verse 26. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that you that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them. So he's praying here, and in verse 23, he says toward the end that you have loved them as much as you loved me. So he's praying here that the world may know that the Father loves the church as much as he loves Jesus. We're the church. Okay? Well, first of all, that has to be a revelation to the church and to us individually as people. See, he's praying that you know that God the Father loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Boy, that sounds just pretty wild, doesn't it? But isn't that what he prayed? Isn't that what he just said right there? And so he's saying the word know is an intimate word. It's an intimate knowing that it just becomes so real to you that it's just alive in you that you are loved by God the Father with that same unfailing love that he loved Jesus with. Did he love Jesus? Oh, man, he's hollered out, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." I mean, he bragged on him all the time. I mean, you know, spent time with him all the time. And you know, Jesus is praying this that we would know that as well, that the Father loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. Wow. Well, we could just camp right there for a while. We will. Anyway. But see, that has to become so real to us. I don't know what you've been told. I was raised Catholic, and at that time, this was not cool to say. But the Father loves us as much as you love Jesus. So I like to take these things and personalize them. See, because if Jesus is praying this about me, then I need to take that and bring that inward and begin to personalize that. So I would take that scripture and I'd say, my Father loves me as much as Jesus. See, that's according to John 17:23. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. See, that has to get on the inside of us in order for the love of God to really flow and be effective in our life. Let's try that. Don't think you're going to get... I didn't get hit by lightning. You notice that, okay? Didn't happen, okay? So if any of you are afraid to say that, now, you know. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Let's try that. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Let's try that again. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Let's try that again. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Try that again. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Let's try that again. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. One more time. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Let's do it again. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. One more time. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. See, when I do that, I'm agreeing with what Jesus just prayed. I'm agreeing with what he had prayed there. I'm connecting with him now. Now, see, you can't say that without something happening on the inside of you. See, because what happens is if you start saying that enough and start thinking that enough, it just begins to start changing you. This is how you change what's going on in your life, is you begin to take a scripture like this and you begin to personalize that and bring it on the inside of you. And the way you do that is you start saying it and you start thinking it. Now, and every time somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you say that rather than wave at them. You begin to, my father loves me as much as he does Jesus. You know, and you keep going over it and over it and over it. And what happens is the love of God that's on the inside of you will start building up and just start overflowing. It will start to become real to you. It takes work to do, though. Just consistently doing it and thinking on it. I mean, you can think about it. I thought about it today at work. I was having a good time at work. No matter what everybody else thought, I was having a good time. So, you know, because it's just the Word of God starts to grow. And now every time I start to get angry, my Father loves me as much as he does Jesus, you know, and you just begin to overcome those things. It's hard to stay depressed if you just start pondering on the love of God, how much he loves you. I mean, man, you are loved. People tell me that I don't think they're loved. Oh, yeah, you are loved. He loves you so much that he had Jesus pray this just for you, so that you would see it tonight and really take hold of it, that he actually loves me as much as he does Jesus. He says that he would be in us. God is with us. He's not off some planet, some faraway planet, anything. He has come to take up residence on the inside of each one of us. Man, it's crowded down there. You know, it's like, you know, the Holy Ghost is in here, God is in here, Spirit of Jesus is in here. I mean, you know, they're here. I don't have to go hollering 2 million miles away to heaven. No, they're right here. See, because he said he would be in us. Amen. So he would be in us. So he's in us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. So my Father loves me just as much as he does Jesus. Let's try that 3 more times. My Father loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. My Father loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. My Father loves me just as much as he does Jesus. I remember Carmen gave her testimony one time, and one of the things she said there was, I thought, was fascinating. She said that when she realized that God really loved her, that and he was not going to let something bad happen to her, it's like, man, healing came right there. See, it's that knowing and connecting with God and the power of God starts flowing through the love of God that's there, and healing and deliverance starts coming. See, because perfect love casts out fear. Fear cannot stay in the presence of perfect love that's actually operating on the inside of you. Torment can't stay in there. Devil can't stay in there because the love of God just overpowers him. Amen? So it's such a picture of intimacy that he wants, and it's the fact that he lives on the inside of us and he loves us so much. Now let's go to 1 John 4:16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." So he says, we have known and believed the love. See, we've got to intimately know the love of God, and we've got to believe the love of God. See, if I'm sitting here questioning whether God loves me, you know, then I don't know. If I'm having problems connecting on that, you know, then I don't know. You know, if I'm hoping this is true, then I'm not there yet. So we have to really make it real to us and really know and believe that. Because it says again, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And see, that word is a continual abiding. It's continually abiding in his love, day in, day out. That we're actually just walking with him, and we're just really just taking in the love of God, and he's just filling us up every day with his love. I mean, every day. And we're abiding in that love, and we're walking in that love. See, it makes life a lot better. Amen. You can put up with really nasty customers doing that, in that kind of mode of operation. You can put up with a lot of things in that mode of operation. Why? Because love just totally nails any kind of fear, any kind of concern, any kind of torment. So he wants us to know and to believe the love that God has for us. So it means that we have to make effort to really get to know him in that way and not be afraid to approach him like that, because, hey, he's love, and he will take us in. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, I like scriptures that start with but, you know, and so this is like, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and he is so merciful. I mean, you know, he is so rich in mercy, he just cannot help himself. I mean, he is always going to yield to you the merciful route. Why? Because he's rich in mercy. And so great is his love for us. Now, the Amplified says, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. So there's an intense love. So this is the word that's talking about the intensity of his love. So God is an intense lover. It's not just a passing thing with him. His love is intense. And so it means it's very, very constant, very, very on with him and very intense with him. He's almost overtaken by that. So he's rich in mercy, his great love for us. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. He has brought us into a place. And he's talked about here that he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There are so many places in the Bible where we are on equal footing with Jesus. Because God put us there. Why? Because we're in him. We're with him, man. We're in him. And because of his great love for us, he talks in several scriptures about us being heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, meaning we're on the same footing on an heirship to what's in the kingdom. He talks about us being brothers with Jesus. We're family. And he has elevated us up to a place that we just like look at it and go, what, me? But no, hey, God has brought us up into a level, and he's treating us just like Jesus. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, as he is, meaning Jesus, so are we in this world. to ponder on that one for a while. As he is, so are we in this world. So as he, how is Jesus? He's like good, you know, he like really blessed. I mean, he's like doing absolutely wonderful, you know, loving life, having a good time in heaven. Well, you know, that's the way we're supposed to be, loving life, just enjoying him. But he's talked here also about the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So the Amplified again says, the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his grace or his favor. Meaning you can't even measure. You can't even, it is unlimited. It never runs out. His favor and his love towards you is limitless. You can never exhaust it. And even when we think we have, he can go way, way, way beyond that. He can surpass that. So God is not, he hasn't been around a long time and is running on empty. No, he is way, way good, okay? Way good. And so his love is just like that. But it says that in his kindness to us, God is kind. He's very kind. He is, I mean, you know, to put up with me, he has got to be kind. Amen? I'm always thankful for that attribute of him, that he's very kind. And he's very long-suffering, meaning he suffers long with us. You know, he'll work with us a long time. Amen? So he is so kind that is an attribute of his. So wherever Christ is, God considers us to be on that same level, in that same company, because we're in him. So you're really in a good place. And so getting to know him and the love he has for you and the great mercy that he has for you, I mean, he has huge plans for us here and eternity. It never ends. It just keeps going on. And so that's what he wants us to do, is to fulfill those plans. He wants to actually show out for you and show you how much he loves you. Doesn't that what you do? I mean, don't you do that with your wife? I mean, every Christmas, you know, we go shopping together. And so we, you know, we'll go and buy stuff for her, you know. And so we'll go do all that. But I always like to get something that she doesn't quite know what it is, you know. So I go off and after a while, you know, some other time and buy something like that and get something. It's amazing how that one little package under the tree just attracts her attention, you know. It's just like Eve and the tree in the Garden of Eden, you know. But why do you do that? Well, I love her. I want to show my love for her, so I go and pick out something special for her. And she doesn't know what to do. And I enjoy watching her trying to figure out what it is. So, you know. And God is like that too. He loves surprising us. He loves doing things for us that we just go, wow, how did you know? He did something for me that I didn't even ask him, but I had it on my mind to do it, but I never had voiced it. And he did it, and I said, how did you know? I was like, wow, that's great. Yeah, well, that's the way he wants to be. See, that's the way he is. And so he wants us just really just taking his love upon himself. Now, Romans chapter 5, we'll go to there. It says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he showed his love for us that while we were still lost, Christ died for us. But he says here that he has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So he has put on the inside of us this same love that's in here. It's in here. He's saying he's already poured it out into our hearts. The very same love we've been talking about. So that means that we don't have to go work up. It's already there. We just have to learn how to cultivate it and release it. Well, one of the ways is going over that scripture over and over and over again and just really making that come alive to you. Because that's what that will do. It will cause the love of God that's been put into your heart to start dwelling up and coming out. All of a sudden, you're getting along with people you didn't get along with. And all of a sudden, you can sit with somebody you never sat with. All of a sudden, you can talk to people you just don't like talking to. Why? Because the love of God is flowing. He's flowing inside of you. So that's what he wants us to do, is to take that and activate that and really cause that to manifest in our life. Then people will notice they're different. They're not chewing my head out like they used to do. Are they not doing this like they used to do? No, they're being very nice to me. And then they become attracted to the love that's being shared here, and then they want to know the source of that love. Boy, then it becomes a lot easier to talk about the source of that love. So he wants us to take that and just with the simple truth of my Father loves me just like he loves Jesus. Let's try that a couple more times. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. My Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. See, it starts emanating something on the inside of us. It is that love that he has already put on the inside. See, he has equipped you to already achieve what he's called you to do. He's already equipped you with everything you need. We have to just engage it, learn how to deal with and to engage it and begin to activate it. So you have all the love resources that you need to really win many, many people to the Lord, to really make an impact on your workplace, to really make an impact wherever you are. So he's already put that on the inside of us. He's given us the ability to love like he loves. Again, we have to believe and receive the love that he has given to us. So he wants us to be just like him. He wants you to be an intense lover, just loving people, just loving to be around people. And so that emanating from you will really start to cause those things to happen in your life. Let me just end with one scripture here tonight. 1 Corinthians 13:8. It's real simple. Love never fails. Well, I like that. Never. Never fails. Never. Why? It doesn't look like it would ever win, but it always does. Amen? Because when you're kicking into the love of God, now the power of God begins to flow. When you need to help somebody, then the love of God just starts kicking in and helping people. See, when you start moving in that, then you start knowing that you're never going to fail. Why? Because he loves you so much. And he is not going to let you fail. He has not brought you here to see you go broke. He has not brought you here to see you just go nuts. He has not brought you here to end up with an empty life. He's brought you here to have fullness of life and to live it more abundantly. And so that is part of that abundant life is this walking into that love and watching him that he never fails. God never loses. Amen. He wins in some of the strangest ways, but it works out. Amen. So we never fail because he's on the inside of us and love is on the inside of us. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for just a simple revelation that you love us as much as you love Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that, that love just begin to cultivate and just begin to take hold. Father, that we begin to say that and begin to think upon that And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've already equipped us with the love of God that we need, that it's already there. And so we just thank you, Father, that by the Holy Spirit, it is just moving out and having your way. We thank you, Lord, that barriers will be broken down, that any kind of afflictions or sicknesses will be completely broken by the power of your love. And we praise you for it, and we thank you, Lord, for your unfailing, surpassing great love and mercy. And we just give you glory for it and thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, aren't you thankful for his love? You know, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they might know just how big God's love is. And we hear it, and we talk about it, and we read it in the scriptures. But do we really even begin to fathom how much he loves us? Powerful word. And see, it's so much to do with whether or not you can believe God's promises are for you. It's really not about how good we are. It's really about how much he loves us. Awesome God. Wonderful God. I remember the night I prayed a sinner's prayer. An elderly saint kept telling me, "Mark, God loves you." And I kept thinking, "Yeah, I know, but I didn't really know just how much he loved me. And so many people need to know. We need to walk in a greater depth of understanding of the love of God. So I say amen to this word. I receive this word. I want to learn to walk in that, just to walk in his love every day. Amen. The world needs to see that in us. Good word tonight, Bob. Well, stand with me. We're going to let you be dismissed. As always, if you need special prayer, I know Brother Bob would be glad to pray with you or myself or others, and just encourage you, if you need special prayer, make your way up here as we dismiss. But go in the grace and the peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you.